evening to you, world of Facebook. Thank you for joining us. It is time for our Wednesday midweek Bible study. My name is Justin Reed. If you're finding this and you don't know who I am or what we're going to be doing here tonight, I will be attempting, after I turn this down, but I'm hearing myself, so that means you're hearing me as well. We're going to be studying a lesson from God's Word, and I would encourage you to grab your copy of God's Word and study along with us. If you would share this video, because that's what I'm doing as we speak. I am sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. That's where I am honored to be the pulpit minister. We would love to have you come join us at your earliest convenience there at Wood. You would certainly be our honored guest. Also, if you would grab your Bible and turn over there with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, that's where we're going to be spending almost 100% of our time in this lesson here this evening. We will probably break out and look at a few other things, but for the time that we have here in our midweek Bible study, I want us to learn a lesson on mercy. Always a timeless lesson. And I had this planned before I really realized just how timeless this lesson might in fact be. It is now 6:30. Let us grab our Bibles, study God's Word together. Although, I need to grab my clicker or I can't advance the program. This is what happens when you're working on such a high-tech budget here as the one that we have. So, let us begin our Bible study in Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verse 25 and kind of get into our lesson here just a little bit. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said unto him, verse 26, What is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and thy neighbor is thyself. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, departed him, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. And he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow he departed. He took out 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now I ask of thee, which thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And the man said, He that showeth mercy to him. And Jesus said, Then go and do likewise. Figure we might as well go ahead and read the whole story. It's just 12, 13 verses. Let us look at our background. We need to look at who is in this story that Jesus tells. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus Christ has sent out his apostles in sets of 2, about 35 sets, or his disciples, in about 35 sets of 2 to go out and to preach and to teach what we often call the limited commission. After our study here in the 10th chapter of Luke, we have that great story of Mary and Martha. And Martha, Martha, because Mary was sitting to listen to Christ. But here in our lesson text, of course, we have Jesus. He is the master teacher. We have a lawyer. He was a scribe. There's a good chance this lawyer was a Pharisee. It would have been his job by occupation to know the law of Moses and also to interpret it. Law. Lawyer. You had a question concerning the law of Moses, and you happened to see this man on the street, or you went to his place that you might think of as an office, and you could say Mr. Lawyer, whatever his last name might have been, or first name, depending on how well you knew him, and you could have said, What does the law say about this? It's his job to know. We also have the Samaritan, more on that in a minute. we have the priest. He would have been of the tribe of Levi, directly involved in the act of worship. Not the high priest. There was just one of those, but there were many priests, all of the tribe of Levi. There's also a Levite who is someone of the tribe of Levi, but who is not a priest. But he might have been an assistant to the priest, maybe helped the priest in some priestly duties. Then also you have this man who was traveling. So those are your people here in our lesson that we're studying tonight. Next, we need to look at the places, though. You have Jerusalem. I feel we're familiar with Jerusalem. Jerusalem being so integral, not only in the Old Testament story, once David acquires it as his city, but also in the New Testament story as well. We also need to think about Jericho. Now, last week here on this page, we studied Joshua and Jericho. Now, Joshua destroyed Old Testament Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, we later learned it was rebuilt, although it shouldn't have been. And consequences were placed upon those, a curse was placed upon those that rebuilt it. But we see we have Jerusalem and Jericho. Now, the road between the two was 17 miles long. It's about here to Woodbury, more or less. Or Woodbury to McMinnville, depending on, I guess, where you're watching. I'm in McMinnville, so from one to the other. And it descends about 3,000 feet. You've got to remind yourself that Jerusalem is up on a mountain. And so you could see Jerusalem from just about everywhere. So that's why the Bible says they always went up to Jerusalem and they always went down from, no matter which way you were going. It was always up to and down from. So this is a road from Jerusalem, 17 miles down to Jericho, and you have a 3,000-foot difference in elevation. And we also have a place of Samaria, but I didn't have enough room to put it in these notes, so let's keep going on that thought of Samaria. Samaria was split into a northern, well, that's what the N stands for, kingdom, and a southern kingdom, that's what the S. So if you see just an N or just an S, I'm talking about directions of north and south. It was split into these kingdoms. Now, the north kingdom had a rapid decline into apostasy. In fact, that led to their downfall. Go with me very quickly here to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, and verse 25. Through 33, we're not going to read all of this, just kind of paraphrase it, but I want you to understand who these people are, because if you don't understand who the Samaritans are, the story of the Good Samaritan doesn't make nearly as much sense to you as it should. We see Jeroboam is the king, and we see that he decides to set up different places to worship God. Because he has a thought there in his mind. And he said in verse 27, if the people go to do sacrifice to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then the people will turn against me and they will go to them. He says, I can't have them going where they're supposed to go, because if they do what they're supposed to do and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, they're going to turn from me and go to them and turn against me. So he says, verse 28, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. So I have erected, verse 29, an altar at Bethel up top and an altar in Dan down below. One's north and one's south. We went to whichever one was closer to you, and he takes the idea of worshiping God and turns it into the practice of worshiping idols. Jeroboam introduces that. By the way, if you want to do a more thorough study on Jeroboam, I would encourage you to head over in the link above me on my website on the Bible Resources page. I put a list up this morning of 21 times in the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Kings, the phrase, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, made Israel to sin. That's a lesson on how to leave a terrible legacy. It's all on the Bible Resources page there on the note above me. We need to keep going, though. King Omir, in 1 Kings chapter 16, he purchases Samaria, and he makes it to be his capital. We have moved on a little bit there in the kingdom. In 1 Kings 16 and verse 21, the people were divided. Half followed Tibni, the son of Ganath, to make him king, and the other half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. Omri purchases a city, verse 24, the hill of Samaria. And he makes that his capital. Now, the northern part of Samaria, they were attacked and defeated by the Assyrians. History tells us that was about 722 B.C. So that puts the contemporary just about 20 years before the time Isaiah writes, if that helps you on the grand timeline of Bible thoughts. The people there of Samaria, they were known because they intermarried with foreigners. Remember, God had always told his people, you need to marry within my people. Don't be marrying outside of my people. And we see that was usually a problem when the people would do that. We see that those of Samaria intermarried, and so they create what is called a mixed race. I've also seen them referred to as half-breeds in some different commentaries. I have there two passages we're not going to read, but if you just want to mark those down, John chapter 4 is where Jesus Christ is passing through Samaria, and he comes and deals with a woman at the well, and he tells all about her life. Also, Samaria there is mentioned in John chapter 8, verse 48. What we need to realize, from Jerusalem to Jericho, Samaria's in the middle. But most people, as they are traveling, they skip around. They would go out of their way as much as 2 days' worth of travel to avoid going through Samaria if you were a Jew. They just didn't like each other. They just fought and fought and fought, because they were distant kin, but they didn't claim it. They didn't act like it. They did not like each other. Well, we see here, I don't know why number two didn't appear as we're naming this. Number two is the question. Go back with me to Luke chapter 10. I guess that's what happens when you rely on technology too much. Thankfully, the Word of God doesn't change. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. There is a question that is asked of Jesus Christ. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, either this man is really wanting to know and acting on his own, I don't lean that way, or he's trying to tempt Jesus. Now, remember, this man's job is to know what God's law says. So verse 26, Jesus quickly turns the question back on him and says, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Jesus is putting this man's livelihood, this man's occupation, into question. It's his job to know the law. And yet, this lawyer is asking Jesus about the law, and Jesus says, well, what does it say? How do you read the law? And the man answers, and he makes a quotation from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, cross-referencing that to Leviticus 19 and 18, and he says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus says, well, you've done well. You have answered correctly. Now this do and live. But the problem is, verse 29, I want you to note what happens here. This man, he's willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I almost envision that in my mind as he kind of sticks his nose up. He might cross his arms when he says, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus says, This you have answered correctly, this do and live. And he says, Well, who is my neighbor, Jesus? Who is my neighbor, Master Teacher? He's trying to get Jesus. And it doesn't work. But instead of just answering, I want you to know what Jesus, since we've already read this once, let's go back through. Point two, as I said, would have been the question. Don't know why it didn't show up, but that's neither here nor there. Point number three is the story. I want you to know what Jesus does. Jesus could have given him the answer, the one that shows compassion, the one that shows mercy. There's your answer. But if Jesus had told him, that scribe, that lawyer would have never been happy. And so Jesus is going to make it where the scribe, where the lawyer, where he is going to answer the question for himself. Look at the story that Jesus tells. There is a certain man goes from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He falls among thieves. Now, they tell me, and I've never been over in this part of the world, but they tell me that these roads are very narrow. They're very dangerous. You don't want to travel alone. You don't want to travel on them at night. Even some of these roads still to this day, because there are just enough different places of a crevice that a thief, a robber could hide in, hijack you, and you'd never see it coming. Well, this happens to the man in our story. He falls among thieves. They take his clothing off of him, at least his outer layers. They beat him. They depart from him, and they leave him half dead. I don't know which half of him is dead, but the Bible says that they leave him half dead. And by chance, there came down the certain priest that way. Paul's here. This lawyer is listening to this story. And by extrapolation, those around Jesus. I want you to imagine you're this person. You have this great long Jewish heritage. It is your job to know the law, to know what they are supposed to do. Imagine, though, this priest looks on him, and when he saw him, not only did he just not stop, he gets over out of the what passes by on the other side. Now, he should have had compassion on the man, but he looks at him and he goes out of his way to avoid him. Brethren, a simple acknowledgement does not equal action. I know he saw him because the Bible tells me he saw him, but he didn't act upon that. He goes out of his way to go the other way. Now, some people say, well, if he's dead, and if he looks to be dead, then the priest, if he were to touch the dead person or the dead body, would have been unclean. Well, he could have at least gotten closer, maybe spoken to the man. He could have done something. But you would have thought the priest, who part of his office is to care for other people, you think he would have stopped by. Well, likewise, verse 32, a Levite, not the same as a priest, although they are of the same tribe, yet he should still stop by, because we should all be willing to stop by. He came and he looked on him and passed by on the other side. He looks at the man. He comes over and stares at him, looks at him. He examines this man who, in my mind, he's either curled up or straight out. He may be writhing in pain. They just beat him half to death. And he comes over and looks at him. And then what does the Bible say? Then he passes by on the other side. Brethren, doing something does not mean you're doing the right thing. Did the Levite do more than the priest? Well, in the sense that he came over and looked at him, yes. But did either of their actions, either ignoring him or coming over and standing over him, did either of those help the man? No, they did not. Now we get to the Samaritan, the hero of our story. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he came where he was, he saw him, he had compassion on him. Remember, you're the lawyer. And you would have bet everything that you had, maybe, theoretically speaking, that the priest would have helped. And if not the priest, surely by goodness the Levite would. But the last person you would expect to help is this Samaritan. And look, he goes over to him, verse 34, bound up his wounds, poured on oil and wine. I would akin that today as maybe he kept some hydrogen peroxide in his car, and he saw this person had a cut and poured it on, then put some Neosporin on it, put a Band-Aid on, wrapped it up, maybe gave him some ibuprofen or Aleve. He is taking care of him on the spot, because you would have carried certain things with you if you traveled outside of your village at all. And then instead of saying, well, I've put a Band-Aid on the problem, well, I hope you do better, he picks the man up, puts him on his own donkey, his own beast, takes him to an inn, and continues to take care of him. Now, the man that has fallen, the man that's been beaten, would have been a Jew. And normally, you wouldn't have expected the Samaritan to help. But the Samaritan's not done, verse 35. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence there in verse 35. Takes out 2 pence. That's not the world's most money, but that's a couple of days. That would have kept that man there at that inn for a couple of days and would have paid for all the needs that he had. He gave to the host. He didn't give to the man. He gave to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will pay you. Start me a tab. Here's my down payment. If he stays here for a month, anything I owe you over 2 pence, you tell me. When I pass through the city again, I will pay you. Even if it's just 1 more pence. If it's a penny, whatever it is, he said he's going to take care of him. And now, Jesus returns the question. Because Jesus, in a way, he's already answered the question, but he hasn't point blank answered the question. So Christ says, now, which of these three? Who are the three? Well, the innkeeper, he's not counted. And the man that has fallen does not count. Either it's the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan. Which one of these three, lawyer, do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? The question was asked, well, who is my neighbor, Lord? Jesus tells a story. And we remember the events of the story, but I want you to look at the answer. And the lawyer answers and says, he that showed mercy on him. I can imagine that might have been difficult to answer. That might have been difficult. He might have known the answer, but maybe he couldn't get his vocal cords to match up with his brain, to match up with his mouth. That would have been difficult because that's not who he would have wanted to be, the hero of the story. That's not who the lawyer would have wanted to be, the correct answer. But the lawyer does answer correctly, and he says, well, it's the one that showed mercy on him. So Jesus says, go and do likewise. The lawyer answers. Jesus charges him, you've answered correctly again, go and do likewise. This is why I love Jesus Christ as the master teacher. Jesus could have answered, who is my neighbor? Well, that's the one that shows compassion. That's the one that shows mercy. Jesus could have done that. But what did he do? Well, one, he told a great story that we love to tell little kids at vacation Bible school and older kids in Bible classes. Jesus also shows a great way of effective Bible study is he presents all the information. He tells this story, and then he asks the lawyer, answer your question. Teaches him a valuable lesson. My neighbor, well, that's the one that showed mercy on him. Well, what lessons can we learn from the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10? Number one, if you're told the truth, don't keep asking the question, hoping you'll get a different answer. You may be looking at that saying, I'm not following you there. When the lawyer asked Jesus the question, Jesus answers it. And Jesus asked him a question. And the man answers it. And he's already been told the right answer. But it might not have been the answer that he was looking for or fishing for. And so he asks the same question again, phrases it a little differently, trying to get a different answer. Brethren, I see this too many times in the church. Somebody will go to God's Word and they'll want to know if they're allowed to participate. Usually it's in some sinful activity. And they'll say, well, according to this translation, I can't. But if I go to a looser translation, that's not in there. They omit the thought, they change the words. Or maybe a person goes to a place, that a church that condemns alcoholic beverages, which by the way should be all of them, because that's a sin, Old Testament, New Testament, but I don't have time to get on to that right here and right now, but take my word for it. In fact, don't actually do some study on that. But let's say he has a drinking problem, and so he leaves his membership at Faithful Congregation A and goes to Middle Congregation B that's kind of hit or miss depending on the day, it seems. But they don't have a problem with it. Brethren, it's still wrong. The truth is always the truth, no matter where you hear it from, who said it. If it is God's Word, it is the truth, and it will always be the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. We need to remember that. Don't keep asking the question, hoping for a different answer. If you know what the answer is, and you don't like the answer, you either need to deal with it, get over it, or change your opinion, because the answer from God is not going to change. Now, that may not be the number one lesson you highlight from the Good Samaritan, but I think it is one that is worthy of our study here this evening. Number two, this one's plain and simple. Don't be the priest. Don't be the Levite. Be the Samaritan. Are you saying that we shouldn't serve and worship or be a godly person? No, that's not what I'm saying. In our story of the Good Samaritan, the priest ignores completely. Walks by on the other side. Don't be the priest. The Levite goes over, examines, realizes he doesn't want to get involved in that, goes out of his way to avoid the hurt man. Be the Samaritan. Be the one that bends down. Not only takes care of him, but literally goes above and beyond the call of duty to assist this man in his needs. Number three. We must show mercy and compassion to be pleasing to God. I think about Jesus Christ on this one. He showed the ultimate mercy and compassion by yielding himself to the Father's will, submitting himself to all the torturing, the painful actions that led him to the cross, hanging there upon the cross for my sins and for yours. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5, Christ died for the ungodly. There's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, no greater picture than that of Jesus the Christ. We must show mercy and compassion to be pleasing to God. Don't be the priest or the Levite, be the Samaritan. If you're told the truth, don't keep asking the question, hoping that you'll get a different answer. And that's how I teach, or would teach, or do teach, the story of the Good Samaritan. A way that we need to show mercy and compassion to those that we care for, and those that we don't. Whether we like them or not, because everybody has a soul, and they all need mercy and compassion. I quickly want to invite you to study again with us. Here again, if the Lord wills, tomorrow night, 6:30. Thursday, that will be if you're not watching this live. Join my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I for what should be, I don't have my notes in front, but I believe it will be the 13th lesson in our Thursday night series. We're finally on Matthew 19. If you've ever wondered what does the Bible say, biblically speaking, not Justin's opinion, not Bill's opinion, not somebody else's opinion, but what does God's Word say in the realm of marriage and divorce and remarriage, we are going to talk about that if the good Lord permits us to make it to a little less than 24 hours from now, so I hope you can join us for that. Also, Sunday morning, being the first day of the week that is the Lord's Day, we will meet at the building for our 11 o'clock worship. We'll also stream the services online. It being the third Sunday of the month, we will get back to quote-unquote regular programming. Have Brother Billy Henson will be with us for our Sunday morning lesson, then we'll continue here Sunday night live at 5, at least for a tad bit longer. But if you can join us, or if you know somebody, while I'm thinking about it, if you know somebody that's confused or needs some help or want to hear what the Bible says in regards to marriage, divorce, remarriage, and other things, I'd hope you'd invite them back tomorrow night, Thursday. That would be the 18th of June. If you're not watching this live, you will go back and find it later. There, you can watch that lesson when we do it live. If you want a copy of these notes, because apparently that slide got deleted as well, the link above me, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources. You can also get that list of where Jeroboam made Israel to sin, all 21 places that's found. I found that list, modified it, and made available to you because I want you to have this material as much as I have it as well. If you don't remember the website, just Google Justin Reed Bible, click on the Bible resources page, and it'll take it. It's all there. Would love to put this material in your hands. fans. Thank you for joining us. I have enjoyed this study. I hope it has been as much of a blessing for you as it has been for me. Timeless truths that we need to be reminded of. When the world seems to be going right and when the world seems to be going wrong, we need to be reminded of these things because God's word is true all the night long. Thank you for watching. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. Until next time.